Matthew chapter 7, beginning at the 13th verse. We looked last week at the golden rule. Today we look at the two ways. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Let's pray. Almighty God, we ask that we might enter the narrow gate, that we might stay on the narrow path, that we might find life. We pray for those who are on the broad way, to depart, to get off it, to come to the narrow way. We ask that you would open our hearts to understand your words, open my mouth, help me to accurately preach, to powerfully preach with the demonstration of the Spirit, these things that are written here for us, your people. We pray it in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I tried to outline this text for myself, and I could not come up with anything that was as good as the outline you have in front of you. That is the outline Matthew Henry made for his commentary. So we will be looking at this under Matthew Henry's outline. I will be repeating some, but far from all of the things he said on this text. The Bible is full of the doctrine of the two ways. There's a way to life and a way to death. We see it in Psalm 119. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Of course, that psalm also references repeatedly the fact that there's another way. "Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God." It's a way of doing evil, a way of breaking God's law. Psalm 1 talks about the two ways as well. "The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And then Genesis 6, way back at the beginning of the Bible, the two ways are mentioned. "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every thought of the imagination of his heart was only evil continually." Why? "For all flesh had corrupted his way." Whose way? God's way. All flesh had corrupted God's way on the earth. There's God's way, and then there's the corrupt parody of God's way that evil people were indulging in that pre-flood world. So we have two ways. Abraham takes the way to life. Lot takes the way to death and lives in Sodom. Hosea mentions the two ways. "The ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them. Transgressors stumble in them." Moses taught on the two ways. I put the verse at the end of the order of worship in your bulletin, Deuteronomy 30. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." Way of life, way of death. Jesus simply repeats this theme here for us in a very graphic way. There's a way to life and a way to death. The way to life is narrow and tough. It has lots of entry barriers. The way to death is broad and easy and has no entry barriers. "But choose the way of life," he says. The way of death looks easy, but it's not. Its end is destruction. The point of our text this morning is that you must enter by the narrow gate and stay on the narrow way, because it's the only way to find eternal life. We're told that there are many ways to God, many paths, And they all start in a different place, but they all reach the top of the mountain, and on and on and on. But that's not what Jesus says. One way to get to heaven. One narrow way. Enter by the narrow gate, he says. And then he describes the broad way. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. We call this the way of sin. And Jesus is very upfront about its alluring aspects. It has some attractiveness to it, this broad way does. Notice that many of our cities and towns have a street named Broadway. No one wants to have Narrow Way. We don't talk about shows being performed on Narrow Way or anything like that. New York City, we have Broadway running from, what, Manhattan up to Albany, 300 miles. We have Broadway in Denver, one of the big streets downtown. But you won't find Narrow Way in the cities of this world. And why not? Well, what does the broad way have to offer? First of all, you don't have to leave anything behind. All your baggage can come with you. Any bitterness, any grudge, any hatred, any particular sin you like and want to keep, well, the gate is wide and the way is broad. There's plenty of room for those things on this way. You don't have to leave anything that you value behind to get on this broad way. Secondly, there's an abundance of liberty in that way. It's broad. You can go many different directions. You can pursue many different things. You can live many different lifestyles on the broad way. Anything that the world accepts, celebrates, any little community anywhere that will endorse what you're doing, you can find that on the broad way. No matter how you wish to live, it's available on this broad way. That's what Jesus says. If you want to live in any kind of perverted, weird, strange way, go for the broad way. And finally, you'll have abundance of company in that way. Many who go in by it, Jesus says. Martin Lloyd-Jones commented on this text that of all the urges human beings have, we have few stronger than the urge to fit in. That's why no man here is wearing a miniskirt. Among the Greeks and Romans, the miniskirt was the manliest thing going. Every Roman soldier you'll ever see wearing that little short red skirt. We don't do that in modern America. Why not? Doesn't fit in. No one does it, and so it's not done. We all want to fit in, and if everyone is going down the broad way, we want to go down the broad way too. Now, there are a few contrarians, but even they usually find other contrarians like themselves. They want to fit in with somebody. But Jesus tells us, if you want to fit in, take the broad way. That's the way that the majority go. That's where the many are. So if you like this broad path, if you like the way that goes to destruction, the way of sin, the way of doing whatever you want, the way of acting however you feel, the way of pursuing whatever looks good at the time, go on this broad way. You have plenty of liberty, you have plenty of company. You can bring all the baggage you want. There's only one problem with this way. It leads to destruction. And when Jesus says destruction, he doesn't mean that you'll cease to exist. He's talking about endless conscious torment, where you experience the worst imaginable pain forever. When we talk about an ocean without shore where you can sail around and around and around and never ever reach the land. Well, eternity is like that. You continue to do whatever you're doing, in this case suffering, and you never reach the end of it. There is no shore to reach. There is no end to be found. So Jesus uses the word destruction as a summary of that. And we know that from places like chapter 25 of this Gospel of Matthew, where he describes endless torment. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal, he says. So in the broad way, the way of doing what comes natural, of doing what feels good at the time, is the way that leads to eternal suffering in hell. Talk about denying the natural. Talk about standing up and saying, what you people go after in the absence of any restraint or any governing will inevitably lead you direct to hell. This is not a power of positive thinking kind of claim. This is not a human beings are basically good, and with a little help and moral amelioration, everyone will end up in a good place. This is the exact opposite of that. Jesus says the broad way, the natural way, the high road of just following your impulses on the assumption that whatever you want to do must be best for you, inevitably ends up in destruction. Well, no matter how alluring the way is, no matter how right it feels to do what feels right, the end is disaster. The end is terrible. The end is destruction. So Jesus starts by saying, enter by the narrow gate. And he describes this narrow way. Verse 14, narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The way to life is tough. It's forbidding. Jesus is not saying, hey, I'm here to give everyone an easy way to heaven. He says his yoke is easy and his burden is light, but he's upfront about the difficulty of the way he recommends. And its first difficulty is that it's hard to find and hard to enter. It's a small gate and it's a narrow way. You have to leave behind all of your baggage to get through this gate. You can't bring any grudge with you. You can't bring any sin with you. You can't bring any commitment to doing what feels good. You have to leave that commitment outside to get through this narrow gate. It's hard to enter. You know, think about it this way. For every person who reads and enjoys the philosopher Aristotle, how many people are there who watch and enjoy television? Or for every person who can consistently make a basket from the three-point line, how many people are there who watch and enjoy television sports? Well, we know that the ratio is far, far more than 1-to-1. Anywhere in the world that has even a little bit of electricity, people may not have refrigerators, washing machines, but they do have television set. We've all seen the pictures, I trust, in National Geographic of a yurt in the back country of Mongolia, thousands of miles from anything, with a satellite dish on its roof. Television is easy. That's why we all enjoy TV. It's easy. Turn it on, sit back, and the stimulation just keeps coming, and you can shut your brain right down. You won't find in every yurt in Mongolia a set of the complete works of Aristotle. You won't. But you will find one of these black gods that we all like to sit down and bow down in front of. Well, Jesus says, guess what? The way I recommend is not easy. It's difficult. It's more like making that shot from the three-point line. It's more like reading Aristotle than it is like watching television. Not easy. And what are some reasons it's not easy? Well, Matthew Henry lists four. Number one, you have to be converted to enter this narrow way. Conversion means changing your heart. Conversion means switching at the lowest level what you are from a bad tree to a good tree, to use the imagery we'll talk about in 2 weeks that Jesus uses. Can the leopard change his spots or the Ethiopian change his skin? Isaiah asks Jeremiah. Then you who are accustomed to do evil can start to do good. You can't convert yourself. You can't change your nature. You can't change yourself from a good person, from a bad person to a good person. You can become a little better, but you can't be better on your own. Conversion is a supernatural work, something God has to do. And unless you're converted, this narrow way will have no attraction for you. You will much prefer fitting in, having the freedom to do what you want, and the freedom to carry your baggage with you. You've got to be converted to get on this narrow way. And more than that, you have to be willing to fight against yourself. You have to be willing to say, no, I'm not going to do that thing that I want to do. I'm going to do what I know I should do. I'm going to deny my ungodliness and worldly lusts. I'm going to affirm God's law. No matter how hard it is. And again, that's hard. That's not like sitting down in front of the television to just follow this narrow way. Narrow is the gate. Difficult is the way. You have to be willing to forsake all to enter this way. Again, no baggage. You're not allowed to bring with you commitment to the things of this world, to relationships, to friends, to family. Jesus says, whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not comparatively hate his mother and his sister and his wife and his children and his father cannot be my disciple. You have to be willing to give up money, status, possessions, family, anything and everything that's generally thought to make life in this world worth living. Some of you might remember Bilbo Baggins inside the Goblin Cave and the Misty Mountains, squeezing out the back door. And as he squeezes out that back door, it's a little too tight. He pops off the brass buttons from his waistcoat. But rather than stay and be grabbed by goblins, he preferred to squeeze out the narrow door and lose those shiny brass buttons. And it's the same thing here. You have to be willing to give up the shiny brass buttons to squeeze through this narrow door. You have to be willing to say, the things the world has to offer are not enough. I'm willing to leave them behind. I'm willing to squeeze through the narrow door in order to follow Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus doesn't always demand that we give up all worldly possessions. But sometimes he does. And he always does demand the willingness to give up worldly possessions, to give up earthly relationships. He says those things cannot be important, as important to you as he is. The things of this world are nice, they're shiny, they're wonderful, they're fun, they're easy. But Jesus says if that's where your loyalty is, if you can't go anywhere where you're not allowed to bring a 50-foot trailer full of your stuff, then I guess you won't be going to heaven. Narrow is the gate, difficult is the way. There's at least a potentiality that you're going to be happy to escape with your skin. You know, if you fly on an airplane, they say on that little safety card, and in the safety presentation at the beginning of the flight, if we go down, leave your stuff behind. Why do they say that? Because everyone rushing to get their stuff out of the plane almost certainly guarantees that a lot of people will die. If you can all consent to abandon your stuff and get off the aircraft, chances of survival are much higher. And Jesus is saying that same thing. This is a difficult way. You aren't going to be able to bring a big roller suitcase behind you. You aren't going to be able to bring a big trailer full of your favorite things. Narrow is the gate. Difficult is the way that leads to life. And you very well may, at some point, or at many points on this way, be asked to leave behind the goods of this world. And if you won't do that, well, there's a broad way made just for you where you won't have to leave behind any of those things. You can keep them all. Maybe. Plenty of worldly people lose worldly things. But in the midst of these difficulties, there is one consolation about the narrow way. It's open. It's not locked. The way to life is open. And this is a change. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. And then they ate the fruit and were expelled from the garden. In front of the gate to Eden, the gate to the tree of life, God placed a cherub with a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. When you think cherub, don't think fat little putti in a Baroque painting. Think of one of the Assyrian winged bulls that's 14 feet high, five legs and two massive wings, holding a flaming sword that turns every way. That's what a cherub was to Moses when he wrote Genesis 3. That's what guarded the way to the tree of life. That's what stood outside that narrow gate and said, "No, no, no, you cannot come in here. Don't even think about it. No way to get to life." Cherub is standing there keeping you separate from life. Jesus says, "I've changed all that. The cherub is off duty. The gates are open. The way to life is here. The door is narrow, but you can get into it. Enter by the narrow gate." That's how he starts. Don't say, "Oh, there's a cherub there that will slaughter me if I even try to get anywhere near life." There's not. Enter by that narrow gate. Find the way to life. The way to heaven. The way to fellowship with God. The way to eternal salvation. That's what you need. That's where you have to enter, Jesus says. And Jesus has opened that life gate that all may go in, that we may go in, as we just sang in that hymn from Fanny Crosby. How is this way to life open? Through the work of Jesus. He's the one who took the cherub off duty. He's the one who unlocked the narrow door. He's the one who cleared off the way to life and said, "Come on in. You can be saved. Follow this narrow way. This way of God's commandments. This way of putting to death that thing in you that says, 'But I want to do.' Put that thing to death. Follow this narrow way, doing what God says. God says, 'Keep my commandments and live. Follow me and live. Trust my Son and live.' That's the way to life. But even once you're on this way to life, it's hard to stay in. Matthew Henry compared it to the Israelites. They crossed the Red Sea, but they weren't in Canaan yet. They still had 40 years in the desert between them and the Promised Land. And it's the same for us. You may have entered the narrow door. You may have said, "Yes, I give up that baggage. Yes, I give up my right to dispose of myself. Yes, I give up my commitment to the things of this world and to the relationships of this world. But I think I'm going to turn around and go back." Jesus says, don't do that. Stay in it. The way is difficult. Once you're through the gate, your problems are not over. They're only beginning. But stay on this narrow way. This way requires daily mortification. The ways of the Lord are upright, Hosea says, and the upright walk in them. But transgressors stumble in them. If you aren't putting your sin to death every day, you stumble in this narrow way. You fall down. You quit making progress. Now, does every sin take you off the narrow way onto the broad way? No. But if you are committed to sinning, if you're consistently sinning, and you're not even regretting your sinning or repenting of it, then that's a sign that you're not on the narrow way at all. Stay on this narrow way. You have to be killing sin. Romans 8:3, if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You have to be putting to death those deeds of the flesh by the power of the Spirit in order to stay on this narrow way. That means asking the Spirit to help you. That means resisting sin when the opportunity presents itself. Saying, no, I won't do that. Holy Spirit, help me. That's staying on the narrow way. But the narrow way does get easier. The longer you're on it, the more used you are to denying yourself, to saying, no, I won't do that thing I feel like doing. I will do what God tells me to do. The narrow way gets easier. Nonetheless, it's lonely. Jesus says there are few who find it. And at times it may feel like the only people on this narrow way are you and Jesus. But think about it. Where would you rather be? With one person that you love? Or with 800,000 of your closest friends? Life derives its meaningfulness from close, intimate, interpersonal relationships. And if you know and love Jesus, even if he's the only company you have on the narrow way, he's enough. And he's really more to you than all the 7.2 billion that make up humanity, so many of whom are on the broad road. You're going with your best friend, your closest friend, the one who means the very most to you. And that's really the alluring aspect of this way of life. You get to spend time with Jesus on this way, and you arrive not at eternal torment, but at eternal life. I don't know if any of you enjoy Ayn Rand. I can't say I enjoy her, but I opened one of her books, The Fountainhead, one day to a scene where the main character is crossing the Iron Curtain, coming out of Stalinist Eastern Europe into free Western Europe. She's running across the snowfield and the Eastern border guards see her and shoot her, and she's wounded and she falls down in the snow. And she's there just screaming at the top of her lungs, I want to live! I want to live! Jesus is saying, that's the attitude we need to have. I want to live! I want to live. I don't want the way of destruction. I don't want to end up in eternal torment. I want life. If you don't want life, then the broad way is fine. The broad way has everything you want. But if you really want life, life in the presence of God, life from the tree of life that you were created to enjoy, then enter by the narrow way. Don't choose death. The way of doing whatever comes natural, the way of doing whatever feels right, Jesus brands the way of death. Don't choose it, he says. Don't go that way. Don't allow yourself to say, I'm going to do whatever feels right. Don't go there. Go on the narrow way. Say, I'm going to go on the way of holiness. I'm going to embrace the way of the righteous. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I know I have to leave behind all my baggage. But I don't care because it's worth it. I want to live. That's the message of this text. Don't choose death. This is an anti-suicide sermon. Don't pick the suicidal broad way. Pick the narrow way that leads to life, that leads to Jesus. That's the way to go. The only way in which you can find life. Renounce the evil that leads to death. Choose the good path that leads to God. Jesus died to take that cherub off duty and to open the way to life. In Him, and in Him alone, is the life you crave. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, put in our hearts a desire for life. Help us to love this narrow way, to pursue it with everything within us. Help us to choose blessing and life, that we and our descendants may live. We pray it in the name of your Son, who opened the life gate. Amen.